So Joyce and I, back in the day when we were both practicing, both practiced at the, whatever it is called now, Oregon State Public Health Division, Oregon Health Authority. And I was the bioterrorism program manager. It's kind of a far cry from maternal child health and home visiting, but have kept in touch with Joyce. And we had such a great session last year. We thought we would try it again. I'm not an MCH person, really. I'm an STD person. Yeah, you might want to. I'm going to try not to be long-winded. This is a weird setup because I can't see my slides because the microphone is on the thing. Okay. I did this little study at the request of the Central Shenandoah Health District, which is five county, very rural health district. A couple of counties have almost no birth cohort at all. You know, there's one baby a year or something like that. And a couple of the counties are much larger. But obstetrical care in rural Virginia is like obstetrical care in rural everywhere. There's very little of it. It's very hard to come by, and the outcomes are often poor. So the health district, not having resources of their own to do this, asked me, would I look at acquisition of prenatal care in the first trimester, local deliveries, believing that the local delivery was the best option. I'm not so sure that that's the case after doing the little study. And then they wanted some recommendations for how to proceed with grant writing and program development in the future from that. I did get paid for the. Isn't this nice? This is like the third time I've been able to put on my disclosure that I got paid for this thing. Yeah. Like, yo, public health nursing. You can't get paid for your stuff. We looked at 11 years of Virginia vital statistics, births by mother's residence in that planning district. Looked at payer source of care, delivery location, and when the prenatal care started, the month prenatal care started. If you looked at vital statistics, you know it's month prenatal care on the top. I did also interviewed providers and a couple of patients, which was illuminating. This because it's kind of the delivery of health services is a political issue, right? It's about resources. So it was important to see what the providers, who are resources, thought were the barriers, and of course the patients. I did a review of the literature to look for solutions based on the findings of this particular area. So this is kind of what care looks like. Do you like my bloody slides? I found these on some kind of, you know, science majors slide template website. Thought it was appropriate. This is a five-county rural district. There are two community hospitals, a third community, tiny, tiny community hospital closed its OB service a couple of years ago. Four providers performed the vast majority of deliveries in this pretty big territory. And frankly, I can't remember how many miles it is, but it's roughly from central Virginia up to the West Virginia border, up to up the top, pretty close to Washington, D.C., and at the bottom, I don't know what you would know that is at the bottom. It was a big, big territory. It's the kind of the beginnings of Appalachia. It's the Shenandoah Valley, and it's fairly rugged, mountainous territory up to West Virginia. A lot of poverty. Most of this region is an underserved healthcare services underserved region. Family practitioners, what I found when I started talking to the family practitioners, I just looked them all up on the board on the Board of Medicine records to see how many there were. There are a lot of them. They are not credentialed for deliveries in the Shenandoah Valley, and that was a political maneuver that happened, I'm not sure when, but it was in this time period about those vital statistics. So once the hospitals decredentialed them for deliveries, they stopped providing prenatal care as well. And I think, I don't know, I guess you want to do the deliveries if you're doing the prenatal care, but that seemed like a real problem. The major indigent care provider, which is University of Virginia Hospital, is over a mountain range. I'm from the West Coast, so we will call those hills, but they really do provide their own weather systems and their car accidents up there. It is hard to get back and forth. There are barriers. And interestingly, cultures vary quite a bit on each side of these tiny little hills. You know, people are radically different, and so are services and everything. So they are barriers. The drive to UVA is anywhere from 45 minutes from my house in the region to a couple of hours or more, maybe 3 hours if you're coming all the way down. We do have telehealth for high-risk deliveries in one major city, Harrisonburg, which is where I am, and it is currently unfunded. We have a volunteer nurse at the FQHE who does it a couple hours a week and an unpaid physician from UVA who calls in on the phone to do this. Health departments, by design, refer to private obstetrical practices. They don't desire to carry their own, and this is part of the assurance of health services in the region. They don't want to do it themselves, or actually they do, but they don't. As a matter of course, they refer out. There are nurse practitioners at a couple of the health departments, there's one in each of these counties, to provide prenatal care if that is preferred by the patient. And then the babies from those that stay with prenatal care at the health departments, they generally have to go over the mountains to UVA to deliver. The hospitals won't take them unless they're in extremis. So here we go, source of care, payment method, and first trimester care. Source of care and first prenatal visit were significantly correlated. You could see the statistics there. Mothers with private doctors had a higher, but this isn't a surprise. Mothers of private doctors had a higher proportion of first prenatal visits in the first trimester. It was kind of a weak but significant relationship. Method of payment and first prenatal visit were also significantly correlated. Mothers with private insurance had a higher proportion of having their first prenatal visit in the first trimester. That's also not a surprise. I suppose what's more revealing was how small the group was who had late or second trimester prenatal care start and who was exclusively health department. It was difficult to sort out the data because mothers would go to the health department, mothers with Medicaid would go to the health department to confirm their pregnancies, and then they would go to the private provider, get referred to the private provider. And there's all kinds of messy stuff that goes on between the diagnosis of pregnancy, the positive pregnancy test, and actual first prenatal visit. And some of that has to do with the fact that many private providers wouldn't make an appointment if you didn't have Medicaid already. So they would start their service at the health department and then someday transfer or not or whatever. So they'd end up with a public and a private provider. Those people generally had poorer indicators as well. But it's not a surprise. They're different people than people who go straight to the private provider. So I talked to family practitioners for a while until I realized they didn't have a dog in that race. Talked to the obstetrical providers and staff quite a bit, and look, I did a thematic analysis, but I actually thought what they said was more interesting. So I just gave you a few quotes here. The private providers, the OB providers, really thought they were delivering a good service. They didn't feel they had a waiting list. They didn't feel they had transportation issues. In fact, they would help. They would call cabs for mothers, things like that, or give out bus schedules. There's very little bus service in the valley, by the way. So they did not recognize that the practices were any kind of a barrier. They knew that the systems could be confusing. This is a place with a lot of Spanish speakers. And now, increasingly, a whole bunch of other folks whose first language is not English and who do not speak English. So they recognize that if you encounter a barrier, if you came from someplace else and didn't know how to manage those barriers, you might well quit. There are lots and lots of undocumented mothers in this area. They come late to prenatal care. The private providers think they do so because they don't know the system. They aren't eligible for Medicaid. They do get sliding scale. But their belief was they would start at the health department and then transfer when they had the money to pay for it. They have to make a deposit on their prenatal care, and they can't make an appointment if they don't have the money to do it. It's a quarterly deposit, and if you miss your quarterly deposit, you don't get the next appointment. It's brutal. And I am not an MCH person. I don't know if this is common everywhere. Wow. Anyway, so you'll recognize my recommendation when we get to it. But cultural beliefs also. people who are accustomed to using the clinic system didn't think it was important. They're obviously referring to undocumented women. They might not think it was important until they learned that it was. Really completely different perspective than some people I interviewed. So I interviewed a ton of the MDs and staff at the private offices, nurse midwives, also have nurse midwives there. The OB providers will take one Medicaid patient, the obstetrician will take one Medicaid patient at a time. All the Medicaid patients go to the nurse midwife practices, which were inside the obstetrical practices. So I don't know, that's their financial model. So the public health nurses, I interviewed about 14 of them. They identified individual problems, motivational issues, some substance abuse in that, not a lot, but denial of pregnancy, I don't want to be pregnant, I don't want to face this kind of thing right now. And transportation, remember, is a very hilly, mountainous kind of place. There were systematic issues as well, insurance referral and social support, things like that. Culture as a barrier was described as a complex mix of individualistic and systematic influences, and that, I guess that's the theme, but the deal was this is rural, white, very redneck area, very low education. People who use the health department are not used by your regular healthy, well-educated mother. And then there's this complex mix of this large undocumented population. And the white folks seem to be resistant to going to the health department because it's perceived as low-class care, but they can't get the referrals out to the private providers in time, and the private providers don't provide them any of the social services or case management that they actually need to get there. So they see the health department as a low-budget provider, and they don't want to go there. They don't recognize that their private providers are actually not giving them what they need. And then the undocumented mothers was a whole other issue. Financial issues were a dominant theme here, and I probably should have put an extra slide in here, but I didn't because I was so interested in the patient perspective. So it was very difficult to interview patients. I interviewed three, which wasn't very many. But what they had to say was quite interesting and probably informed my view of this more than anything else. This woman had two previous children. She was undocumented. She knew she had to pay up front if she wanted to go to the private care system. In Spanish, she very matter-of-factly told me that she didn't get her first trimester prenatal care because she had to earn a couple hundred more dollars to make her down payment on her services. So she was right into her second trimester, and she paid her deposit, and that's all. It was very pragmatic. It was actually quite poignant. Another woman wanted to go to UVA, the indigent care provider, for her second kid because she had a very difficult experience with the private providers in the valley. And I don't know, I'm an advocate of teaching hospital care, and they're just more cutting edge. Anyway, she had a disastrous experience. She started late in her pregnancy. She didn't qualify for Medicaid at first and all of that, so she missed some appointments. She had a very high-risk pregnancy. Went to the private provider in the end, had a disastrous outcome, was medevaced to UVA, and so she chose to go to UVA after that. And the other interesting thing about these women is if substance abuse is an issue or motivation is an issue, I sure didn't see it in these three interviews. These ladies were all planners, and they went to the mat to get care for their kids. This lady's story was much longer than this, and involved risk management at the private hospital and all this kind of stuff. And she just said, I'm going to the place where they are cutting edge, and I'm not going to deal with them anymore. Sorry, I'm almost done. One woman had an unpaid bill from a previous pregnancy, so she couldn't make an appointment with the private provider for this one, right? She chose to go to UVA because they had sliding fee scales. She was also undocumented. It's a lot harder for Hispanics to get care because they don't have Social Security numbers, and that's still the unique identifier in rural places. You have to pay out of pocket. She knew she could get emergency services, but she didn't want to go to the emergency department in labor with no prenatal care. She really liked UVA, which was at odds with what the public health nurses thought. The public health nurses thought that the transportation was the biggest barrier. Now, this lady had a two-hour drive to UVA, and she had car trouble and all that kind of stuff, but she chose to go there because once you get in the system there, your sliding fee scale for everything. If she needs her bunions removed, she can go to the foot clinic and have them done. With the private providers, every single practice, you have to go through it, every single one of them, and of course, it's humiliating and debilitating and just saps your spirit. Anyway, so three very strong women really planned their OB experiences and chose things that were completely different than what the public health nurses thought should be happening or what the OB providers thought was happening. So here's summary findings. First trimester prenatal care is adversely affected by a number of things. Medicaid payer source is one and health department source of care. Those, however, are indicators of the type of client that goes to the health department. Those are people who need a whole lot more than just prenatal care. Perspectives of barriers did not coincide. The patients confronted fragmented financial and care systems. The public health nurses believed that transportation was the biggest barrier, that people just wouldn't go, and providers tended to blame the patients for their own failure to access care. In conclusion, private source of care and private insurance method of payment were very much related to the timing of the first visit. In this rural setting, financial requirements, referral patterns, that direct referral to the private provider, and lack of case management, I think, result in late entry to prenatal care for the most vulnerable mothers, those who would usually frequent the health department, right? Those without private providers or private insurance. So findings suggest a couple of policy solutions, and the last one, the subject matter of this talk, was not well received. Early pregnancy identification needs to be done. Free, ready, readily accessible, not humiliating pregnancy tests when you need them. Marketing maternity services from the health department to women in poverty, because the health department gives a better service than the OB providers. Adequate resources for the indigent care clinic, meaning that high-risk telemedicine clinic that used to have the doc on site once a month, that should be refunded and it needs to be expanded. There's one clinic that does it now. It needs to be expanded. And finally, nurse home visiting to accommodate at-risk mothers while they are pregnant so they can help usher them in the right direction and those very bad birth outcomes don't happen. When I sent these recommendations back to the health department, I was questioned about that very last one. And you probably know why.
They don't do home visits.
Well, they do home visits, but it's expensive. It's expensive, and they want to use community health workers for stuff. And I see why. You can hire a couple of community health workers for a public health nurse. But they are, I believe they're less versatile, and this is an unpopular thing to say. I think a nurse is a more acceptable, is joyfully accepted by pregnant women, whereas the health, community health worker requires explanation. Rapport is easier to establish, trust is easier to go on. And I actually say that from my experience as a DIS. I was a nurse disease investigation specialist back in the day, and I got way better outcomes from my patients, my contacts, than the regular DIS, and I think it's because I'm a nurse. I had other stuff to offer, and they trust me. Anyway, that's just my experience. That's not from this study. So pregnant women in poverty are the target population for both nurse home visiting programs and the health department. If these recommendations have the effect of enlarging the health department client base, expansion of nurse home visiting service should be done, and maternity case management services may be necessary to improve outcomes for these women.